I believe this new year is significant, and I've been spending quite a lot of time, particularly while I was away on the week of a retreat, well, 4 days of retreat, I really met with God. And I want to just encourage you, this is the word that God gave to Joshua just before they entered into the promised land. And the Lord said, consecrate to them, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And I believe we are at a pivotal moment in what God's doing. How many people, Nigel, did they say have come through the food to collect? Through this place in a year, the last year, 1,700 or more, or, you know, have come through here to collect food parcels so that they can keep feeding their families and friends and people. Isn't that amazing? And that is just kind of, as we were praying, a linking up of two, what we want to do with the warm space, which is every Tuesday here between 1 and 3, and some people come who don't need the help of the food bank, but come week by week, linked up with the food bank to see people in this town in great need, ministered to, loved, fed, given cups of coffee, and if you want to come and help, we're always looking for new people. We've had some really, really special times. But that's just one thing of many. We've had two baptisms. We've had a lot of new faces come in. Hallelujah. You're so welcome. And we pray that you will be strengthened and blessed here in KCC. And that this will not just be a place where you come to worship on Sunday, but a family where you make friends and where you build relationships, where you find people that can lift you up when times are tough, who you can lift up others. And that's been so encouraging. We've had sometimes as many as 100 people at the clothing exchange. We had two baptism services. I'm sure we're going to have another one that's not too far off. But while I was praying, what are you saying? What are you saying for this new year? I felt into my spirit, it was like, it wasn't like I'd been thinking about it, I'd been met. No, it just came out of the blue. Acceleration. Hallelujah. And I believe that, I felt as I prayed into that, things are going to start speeding up. They're speeding up in the world, technology. There's some of you senior people, you have seen more technological breakthrough in your lifetime than in the whole of the history of the world before, is what they're saying. I had a wonderful time with my dear mum just before Christmas, we went over, gave some our presents, explaining to her how to use a tablet. And yes, it's on Wi-Fi. What? Why? What? What? It comes from, where's it come from? Oh, it comes from the care home Wi-Fi router. Oh, well, I don't want anything from them. I just want to get Selwyn Hughes every day with Jesus. And I said, okay, Mum, I'm going to try and sort it out. And then we tried to do face recognition. But actually I spoke to Mum a couple of days back, and she's got Every Day with Jesus coming now through the Wi-Fi. Oh, and she's reading the Bible, but she says it's Nicky Gumbel keeps reading it and he's far too loud. So I was like, Mum, I'll come and show you where the volume button is. And oh my goodness. So anyway, God bless you. I don't know where we'll be in 20, 30, 40, if the Lord doesn't come. Technology, I mean, it's unbelievable. But things are speeding up. And things are speeding up in the world. You know, we have, for the first time, a significant war in Europe. We have the Middle East, my friends in Lebanon, they are fasting, they are praying, for God will spare them another war, because we know that will be devastating. Gaza, Israel, it's all speeding up. And I believe God is speeding up the things of God. A season, sometimes he's the God of the suddenlies. The early church spent 50 days after the ascension of Christ, and nothing was happening. And then the Bible says, and suddenly, just say, and suddenly, like a mighty rushing wind. Wow, the Holy Spirit broke in. And you see, one of the things you've got to learn is there are seasons to sow when not much is happening. Not much. It seems like you've been sowing and sowing and sowing in prayer and humbling yourself. And it's like, is it happening? But the Bible talks in Revelation about the tipping point where, bang, the answer comes suddenly. You know, the revival in the Hebrides, they were up in a barn, these praying ladies, and Duncan Campbell went to visit them, and he said, well, I'm only coming one day or something like that, because I've got to go somewhere else. And they were saying, Lord, he's not listening to you, but can you just speak to him? Anyway, ended up there a few more days, and then suddenly in that barn, about 2 or 3 in the morning, someone said, your covenant is, you know, your name is at stake. The honor of your name is at stake. And then the Holy Spirit began to move in that village, and lights went on in the houses at 3 in the morning, and supernaturally people gathered outside the police station. And Duncan Campbell preached, and many of those people became Christians. And it's like a whole set of islands was under the presence of God for a significant length of time. There's the suddenly of God. And I believe that as I was praying, God was saying, it's not a question of working harder and looking more frazzled. Sorry if I looked a bit frazzled this morning when the heating wasn't on. I was thinking we might have to turn this into an aerobics class, a gospel dance, come a few days early or something. But it's not rushing around like a headless chicken. It's abiding in Jesus. It's being and doing what he wants when he wants. I remember in my college days, and I wasn't in the university, I was in a teacher training college, but we had a move of God taking place, and it was called the Jesus Bunker Group. And we met in the bunker of Jesus College. And things, prayer was going on. People were coming to Christ. Many of those people are now church leaders or involved in key ministries. And one time a student would just be walking along and feel a deep impression, I need to go to so-and-so's room. And so-and-so was in that room praying for someone who was really in a lot of what we can only describe as demonic bondage. And the person there saying, I need help. But we didn't have mobile phones back then. And this person was supernaturally led to knock on the door and be where Jesus wanted them to be at that moment in time. Hallelujah. And when you're living a life of prayer like Simeon, isn't it interesting? Simeon just happened to be in the temple when Jesus was brought in by Joseph and Mary. When you're in the Spirit, when you're being yielding to the Spirit, you just have divine appointments start happening in a fresh way in your life. If Roy Godwin can cry out to God in the middle of nowhere in West Wales, Lord, I want to reach non-Christians, not just run a Christian retreat house, and people start knocking on his door at 6 in the morning saying, how do I become a Christian? Then God can use you here in Newbury. Amen? And so you can be ready, be ready. It's not a question about running frenetically around. It's yielding to the Holy Spirit, abiding. What does that word abiding mean? It literally means if you remain in me and my words remain in you, Jesus said, you will bear much fruit. And I just want to encourage you, raise your expectation this year. Things are going to speed up in the things of God. Hallelujah. I believe one of the words that we had some time back is that there will be a trickle of newcomers, then there would be a stream, then there will be a river, and we all know what's happening to the rivers at the moment, then there would be a flood. And so be ready. Be expectant. I remember a season back in Notting Hill Gate, and Notting Hill Gate was the most alternative place you can imagine. You know, it was just mad place to be at that time. Now it's gone, it's been gone upper class a bit, but back then it was really raw. And then suddenly we were finding people were just coming in to the meetings, and you could be preaching on anything, like tithing or something, and people would come to Christ. And it was a season of harvest. We'd had a whole season of praying, fasting, seeking God. And then suddenly, without any special campaign, without any sort of push from the front, people just started streaming in. And I believe we're coming to a point where people will stream in. The early church, it says people were added every day. Amen? And so I just want to encourage you today, stretch out, let me tell you this, expect the unexpected. Amen? That doesn't make sense, I know, but expect it. And Roy suddenly got these people knocking on the door day after day at 6 or something in the morning. Had to pray, Lord, can they come at 10, please, so I can have my breakfast. I believe, and I encourage you to listen to the podcast of Ash's message from last Sunday, but it's a time of restoration. Amen? He wants to restore what the locust has eaten. Amen. One other version says, I will restore what the locusts have stolen. And we can all relate to the times where the locusts, the enemy has stolen things out of our lives, where there have been times when we didn't push through to what God wanted. Times when it seems like because no one did anything wrong, but somehow the enemy stole something out of your life. I believe in this season, many of you are going to come into a season where he restores what the enemy has stolen. You're going to have joy. He turns your mourning into dancing. We could have done with some dancers today. We still can do it, you know. All that's been lost, David and his men lost all of their belongings. I think it was to the Amalekites. And he said, Lord, do I pursue them? And the Lord said, pursue them. And it says, David recovered all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of us, I've been seasons in my life where there's been brokenness in my heart. When I've seen friends backslide, when I've seen people divided off from each other who I'm sure God called to work together. And it says in Psalm 23, David had a brokenness in his soul, but he declared this, he restores my soul. Hallelujah. Maybe you've had things happen this year, betrayals, maybe false accusations, maybe someone at work, maybe someone has really wound you up. Let me encourage you. I believe that God wants, it's not just a restoration of outward things. The most important thing of all is you on the inside, your spirit, soul, and body. He wants all of you made whole. Amen. And if you need help with that, talk to Carrie. She'll help you with that. You know, before God can do it through you, he wants to do it in you. He's more concerned about the inner man than the outer. Amen? We spend so much time, you know, in there. I'm still trying to hide my ball patch. That camera is really bad, the way they positioned it. Because every time I look at the live stream, there's this gap that I don't realize is there. Someone said, have you become a monk or what's going on? You know, in 1 John it says, I pray above all things you may prosper as your soul prospers. It begins here. While I was on that prayer retreat, I was just tired. I'd been a busy time and everything was happening all at once. But God put strength back into my inner man. Amen? And it's so important. You don't just get caught up in the busyness of life, caught up in the busyness of work, caught up that you have a weak inner man. You have a broken inner man. The Bible says, guard your heart above all things. Guard your heart, for out of it flow what? The issues of life. You know, that's the Holy Spirit. Listen, take time to let God heal you. Heal your heart. He's close to the brokenhearted. He wants to come in and bring wholeness. Amen? Because when the heart, if the enemy can block up that well of your heart, those living water, out of your heart shall flow what? Streams of living water. I want to be someone where I go, streams flow. When you walk into the room, the atmosphere changes. When you meet someone downtrodden, that they feel lifted up. Someone we used to know and love, Wynn Lewis, you get half an hour. I used to get him to come and preach when we were in Chiswick. He's with the Lord now. And we'd have a great meeting. But I always enjoyed taking him to lunch. Because half an hour with Lewis, you felt like you could change the world. You go, oh yes, boy, oh yo 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 yo, oh da 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 da, and he wouldn't. Kay kept saying, you need to be ordained to Carrie, and she ignored it for 3 or 4 years. And by the time he came 4 years later, she couldn't say no. Hallelujah. Let vision come back into your life. Abraham had a moment of disappointment when Lot left him and took the best ground. But then God said, go up, lift up your head. Some of you need to lift up your head. Look north, look south, look east, look west. As far as you can see, I will give it to you. Get that vision back from the Lord. Amen. Maybe you come here from Nigeria and you're used to being in a church of 10,000 people and you're going, what on earth am I doing here in this scout hut, you know? Well, get that vision for Newbury. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Maybe you're here, well, in Britain we have to behave ourselves and not really, you know. No, you carry the fire you caught in Lagos. Shambalamba. Yeah. You don't have to, you know, be like us. You be yourself. When I lived in Nigeria for 4 months, 5 o'clock in the morning, there was a guy preaching outside our house some mornings. You get in the minibus and someone would be preaching at you. I get in a taxi, the taxi driver wouldn't let me go until I prayed the sinner's prayer and I said, I don't need to. I believe in Jesus. Are you sure? I thought, if I pray anyway. Listen, carry that revival anointing into Newbury. Amen? Hallelujah. It's like Carrie, when she first came to London, she used to talk to people on the tube train. And everyone's like, there's someone here talking to me. What on earth are they doing? Well, it lasted for a week or two, but anyway, listen, there's a lot of shaking. There's shaking and glory. And I believe this verse, you've heard me share it before, but I believe it's coming more and more into focus. If you are trusting that, you know, the news is going to suddenly get better, then you're trusting the wrong thing. There is a shaking. It's there, black and white in the Bible. And I know some people say it's all going to be, you know, better and better. No, there's going to be a shaking and there'll be more shaking. But in the shaking, the glory is going to come. Amen. Once more, if in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and dry land. Well, we've had a bit of a sea come in. I will shake all nations. Some people like Ben know what it's like to get a wheelbarrow of cash to pay to buy something. What they've gone through in Zimbabwe. But I tell you, there's shaking in this country. Things that used to work don't seem to work. Getting a doctor to see appointment is, well, I haven't seen one for 2 years. I will shake all nations. It is going, but the shaking is going to shake people into his kingdom that cannot be shaken. Hallelujah. You are in a kingdom there. The kingdom of God, Jesus said, is within you and it cannot be shaken. Wow. Why are Christians always so fearful of everything? You know, I've lived through about 20 antichrists, Saddam Hussein, Henry Kissinger, just about everyone that was anyone. Is, you know, I've had someone share, that's da-da-da-da-da. Listen, the revelation, book of Revelation is a, says this, a revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. And it's also about the victory of God, who's going to make a new heaven and a new earth, and there's going to be no more crying or tears or sin or pain. That's the book. We need to be, it's all about the glorified Jesus. Saints, the end day church isn't going to be fretting and worrying about some antichrist. It's going to be so caught up in the things of Jesus. It's going to be like a bride the night, the days before her wedding day. We're going to be so in love with him that all of the things going on won't really matter. We'll be consumed with the things, with the coming king. Amen. Like John, when towards the end of the book of Revelation, I'm going off track now, but I'm just reining myself in a minute. Here, Jesus says, I'm coming soon. And then John goes, even so, come, Lord Jesus. It's good to me, a longing. I had some friends when I was younger who said, Lord, don't come, I haven't been married yet. Just wait, just give me 10 years, please. But you know, we're going to be so caught up with that. My friends in the Middle East, who've seen martyrdom, who've seen real persecution, they're some of the most joy-filled people I know. Amen? You're going to be so full of joy, so full of peace. His glory is going to come upon you. And it says they will come to the desire of European nations. How many nations is Jesus going to have people from? Every tribe, every tongue, every nation. Hallelujah. They're going to come. He's the desire of all nations. It's like the old Moravian said, that the lamb that was slain might receive the reward of his suffering. He died on that cross to redeem men from every tribe and tongue and nations. The Albanians are coming. Hallelujah. The South Africans are coming. Or they've come many years ago, but you know, There's going to be revival in Lebanon. There's going to be revival in Syria. I'm looking forward to getting into Syria sometime. I'm looking forward to getting back into the Ukraine. Amen? There's going to be fun days bringing the glory. But I also want you to look forward to going back into the office, back into the school. Amen. Vodafone can be saved. Hallelujah. Amen. And where are we? The silver and I will fill this temple where God's people are will be filled with glory. I've been in meetings, and I'm sure you've had many here too. You walk in, and you can't describe what it is or what it isn't, but there's this weighty glory. And you walk in, you look at one another like, this is different. Where people come into the meeting and sometimes just fall on their faces before God. They're going to be timed. Let me tell you, the glory of the latter temple, I believe that's the end time church. There'll be things in Israel too, but the end time church will be greater than the former. People are going to come in and just start crying in God's presence. You know, even in the warm space, we've had people come. We had a young man come last week. And he got all his parcels, and we were talking, and others were talking, but he didn't want to go home. And then he even helped do all the chairs. I thought, wow, this is someone from God. This is a God. But he just didn't want to go. We had people come into the nursery that were back in London, and they said, the only time in the week when I don't feel depressed is when I come here. Because the presence of God is going to come. Our friends in the food bank say, we love the atmosphere here. Oh, you know, Jesus said the kingdom of God is like is a large tree, and the birds of the air come and rest in their branches, in the branches. People are going to come to the desire of all nations. People are going to start showing up. I remember one time someone saw a sign on the high street, and they said, it was a lovely Muslim man, and he said, something inside me said, I must go to that place. And he showed up on Sunday morning. We're going to have people just coming in. Sometimes they're going to come in, they won't even know what they're coming into. But the presence of Jesus, when the glory comes, hallelujah. Let me tell you, when that weighty glory comes into your home, into a Sunday meeting, it changes you. We've been transformed from glory to glory, beholding as in a mirror the face of Jesus. Let me tell you, there's going to be glorious days ahead. It can happen in your car. It can even happen when you're driving 70 and a half miles an hour. I've had to stop the car because just driving, and I find myself weeping. And I'm just like, what are you doing, Lord? What are you saying? And God says, I'm not saying anything, but just enjoy my touch. Are you ready for God to touch you? Are you ready to be touched by the glory of God? Amen. Get focused on what He's doing. You've heard me preach in Isaiah 60. Deep darkness will cover the earth. Deep darkness the people. Well, we've all seen that. But it's not like, oh, there's this. Oh, listen. Okay, watch a bit of the news. But I know some people, particularly in the pandemic, they spent the whole day watching how many people had died, how many people this, how bad it was going to be. And it just sucked all the faith out of them. It may be dark, but let me tell you, focusing on darkness does not release the light. focus on him. Hallelujah. He ain't changed. All authority is given to him where? In heaven and on earth. But the Lord, some of you need to hear that, will arise over you in that school. Hallelujah. In that garage. The glory, even as you fail someone for their MOT, the love of Jesus is going to shine through you. They won't argue too much. They go, he's such a lovely guy. His glory will be seen upon you. Gentiles, that's unbelievers, will come to your light. Kings, leaders, will come to the brightness of your arising. They're going to want what you carry. Because you're so counter what's out there. As the world is filled with fear, we're going to be filled with faith and love. Amen. Oh, and he said, and it says in Habakkuk, he says, the silver is mine, the gold is mine. God can pay even for a new heating system. Hallelujah. We'll pray about that. Can I just say, I believe it's time to get hold of promises that you've let go of. Part of the restoration God wants to do is you've heard what God said. It could have been 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And I'm not talking just about every wacky word that's out there, but where you just know it witnessed, it was from the Lord, where God said, you cannot be passive. I felt actually while I was praying that time away, it was like God was bringing back promises, bringing back expectation, bringing back faith and hope into my heart in a new way, where things that I'd let go of, God was telling me to get hold of again. You see, Elijah said, there's an abundance. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. And he didn't just sit there and wait. He got himself in that position, that posture. Some people say it's a posture of birth. It could be a posture of intercession. He went to the top of Carmel. He bowed down to the ground and between his knees. I believe he was praying. Oh God, send the rain. And why was the rain important? Because Baal was the god of the rain. And that would just demonstrate that Yahweh was the true God. And he prayed and he kept sending his servant, who must have got very fit by the end, 7 times. He was expectant. He was expecting, God, you're going to restore me. You're going to do this. You're going to seal this victory. And then on the 7th time, the servant said, there's a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. And at that moment, he knew the rain was coming. I tell you what, there's a cloud. It's coming up. Don't be passive with the call of God. Don't be passive. Don't go, que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. No. When God speaks to you, he wants your engagement. Let me just give you another verse. In Daniel, he read that Jeremiah predicted after 70 years, they would be restored back to Jerusalem. And Daniel didn't go, oh, great, it's going to happen. Oh, wonderful. Oh, we're going to have revival. Yeah, I've heard more prophecies about revival than I think has there been revivals in the whole of human history. It's not being passive. Daniel heard that prophetic word, read it, and said, I'm going to set my face to God in prayer, supplications, fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Can I just say, it's time to take off the back burner the things that God has spoken to you that you've let go of. Amen. Amen. It's time. He wants to restore your soul. He wants to restore what the enemy has spoken. Restore your marriage. Restore your life. Restore the first love in your life. Restore the prophetic words that he has spoken over you, over this church. Amen? Hallelujah. I feel like I come here building on the prophetic destiny that's on this house. But you cannot be passive. I just want to just say this. And this charge I give to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies, these are Paul and his friends previously made about you. But by the prophecies, you may what? Come on, saints. Wage good warfare. You cannot be passive. I've got friends who say, yeah, I'm called to, I had one friend called to Lebanon, and they've been called there for 30 years. And, you know, there comes a point where it's just get on the plane. I literally said, there's two flights a day to Beirut. Which one should we book you on? It's time to get some legs going. It's time to pray. It's time to be like Jacob, who would count the angel of the Lord's hands and says, I will not let you go until you bless me. In other words, until I really receive that blessing that I stole off my brother. And that blessing came on Jacob, and he became Israel, a prince with God. He inherited, I believe that's when he truly inherited it. But we won't go there today. Listen, you may say, oh, I'm old. Well, I'm still in the 50s, hallelujah, by the grace of God. Just a few months left, and then I'll be up with Nigel in that 60s club, hallelujah. Oh, Lord. But let me tell you, Simeon believed. We don't know when he got it, but I believe he believed his eyes would see the Messiah. It could have been 20 years, could have been 30 years, but he was old. And when he put Jesus in his arms, he said, now let your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have beheld the glory or the salvation of our God. He saw right at the end of his life the fulfillment of the prophetic word. Amen. So there's still lots to do. Hallelujah. Start a library. Amen. Whatever. Maybe we should get another button. No, I won't put that on you. I know you've retired. But whatever it is, all of us have a destiny to live for. Amen. Simeon, it was to see the coming of the Messiah. But you cannot be passive. Let me tell you, I'm just warning you, do not be passive. Do not let another year drift by. You need to start praying like Elijah did. You may have heard a sound of an abundance of rain, but you need to start humbling yourself, praying, and pressing into God. Amen. Paul said, I'm not perfect, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. Every one of us have a responsibility to find our that. There's a that over your life, and you have to find it. And if you haven't found it, I want to encourage you, press in this week. Press in your whole life, because God has incredible plans for each and every one of us. Amen? Okay, I'm bringing us into land. Okay, write it down. We're going to be looking at a bit of vision as a church, but what God said to you, don't just go, yeah, something, I got this word about, you know, something about being blessed, and I might just be a blessing somewhere. I can't, what nation, oh, you know. No, when God's spoken to you, write down because the vision may tarry for a while, but let him who runs with it It has an appointed time. Write it down so you can run with it. We had someone in our school once that we did. They actually drew the things that they were seeing that God wanted to do in their life. Amen? I had a vision when I was a young boy. I looked, pointed at the vicar preaching, and I said to my mum, I'm going to do that one day. And she said, no, you don't want to do that. They don't get paid that much. Well, here we are. I'm not a vicar, but, you know, second best. No, it's not. It's the God's best, actually. Okay. Can I just, coming into land, listen. I'll just say it straight. Why do people sin? Because sin, what you reap, you will sow. You know, it says this, in Galatians, it says, if you sow to the flesh, you'll reap destruction. Now, I think there's eternal consequences, but also there's consequences in your own life. David sinned, but the prophet said, the sword will not leave your family. And it was his own son that rose up against him and displaced him. He lost, Bathsheba lost the first child. God restored David, but there was destruction that didn't have to come that came into his life. You see, I believe in the grace of God. I believe in the forgiveness of God. When we turn back to him, he will always wipe the slate clean. But you could have, what you sow, you will reap. And that's why we must live in the fear of God. We know it's not good for us. We know that God knows it's not good for us. And we know that he knows, that he can see us. Amen? You can't hide anything from him. And that's why we want to go into this new year with all the toxic nonsense, the sin, the unforgiveness. Let's just deal with it. David said this when he sinned. He said, create in me a clean heart. That's the same word that was used in the creation of the world. Break into my heart. Do you give me your desires to live righteously? Amen? Keep short accounts with God. If you've been messing up over Christmas, repent. Let God cleanse you afresh. You know, it's time to set the rudder of our life in the right direction. Amen. I have been baffled and shocked in the last 2 years of household name ministries that have come crashing down. Various reasons. On this side of the Atlantic, the other side, and even the upside down side. Ministries that were flourishing, but didn't deal with key issues that needed to be dealt with. That's very, I can see how you're looking at me like, but you know what? The Bible's clear. Some people say, oh, God's going to really judge all the mess out there. Judgment begins in the house of God. So that when those people come in here, they don't come in to a polluted well. But they come into a place of love. And you know, it's good. It's one thing to go for the big sins. But let's deal with gossip. Amen? Let's deal with unforgiveness. You know, oh, that person, I remember back in London, someone said, that person, they did this. And I said, how long ago was that? 15 years ago. Oh, Lord, help me. You've been carrying that 15 years. It's time to let go. Husbands and wives, forgive each other. Amen? Because we want to get rid of all this stuff. The new year and the things of God, I think it's like flying Ryanair. The check-in baggage is very expensive. Get rid of your baggage. You need to travel light. Throw off every weight and run the race. Does that make sense? God said to this Jezebelic prophet in Revelation, I gave her time. And I believe God in his grace gives us time. But if you're still not coming to terms with these things, sort it out. If you need to talk to someone, you can talk to me. If it's really bad, you can talk to Nigel. But sort it out. Get the toxin. Have a detox with God. It's cheaper than the spa. Amen. I'll come into land. We need to go into this year assured that God has blessed us. Hallelujah. Some people go, oh, I'm just a little worm. I'm just trying to stop sinning and trying to just get mine, you know, just survive. No. The blessing of Abraham has come upon Darren. Amen. That blessing was even on Jacob when he was at Laban. And he said, I know that you, God has blessed me because of you. There's a blessing on us. Do you know, I remember when I was a young Christian, there was this chorus we used to sing. And I'm not going to try it now. I am blessed every day of my life. I am blessed when I wake up in the morning and I lay my head to rest. I'm blessed. I am blessed. And I, you know, back then I think, that's so superficial. We need to go into deep things, all this blessing. And then God said to me, you still haven't got it. You need to wake up every day and say, I am blessed. Everywhere I go, I carry that blessing. When I meet people, they're going to be blessed because I'm carrying the blessing. I'm going to bless them. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray for the company I work for. I'm going to bless my neighbors. Hallelujah. I'm going to bless the people around me. I am blessed every day. The blessing of Abraham, what is it? He said, I will bless you and I will make you great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse you, curse you. And in you, all families of the earth will be blessed. That blessing has come upon us. Amen. And the gospel is going to take it out to every people of every tribe, tongue, and nation. There is a blessing with the gospel. Watch those transformation videos. Whole communities in Wales had no court cases for 3 years because the blessing of God. Listen, I had Christians going, oh yeah, I know I'll be blessed one day. Listen, the blessing of God. It says this, he has, just say has, blessed us. With how many blessings? Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. I just remember one time I said to the Lord, show me what that looks like. And I saw myself just with Jesus and just shouting. Some people live with this concept. You know, there's all this stuff about blessing and cursing, curses. Well, it says, you know, that he will put his blessing to 1,000 generations. Hallelujah. So you're blessed. And I just want to encourage you this morning as you come into this new year. It's not you will be blessed. It's not you have been, not you were blessed. It is you are blessed. Every day of your life, you are blessed. And so wake up. You know, you could look at all your frailties. You could look at all the areas in your life that God is still working on. But I want to tell you, and as you allow the Holy Spirit, he will work on those areas. He's still working on my driving. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we had a few close shaves over Christmas, but he's working on me. But overriding all of that, I am blessed. Hallelujah. And I am God's workmanship. Amen. God spoke to me, said, Phil, you are my problem. Don't worry, I will sort you out. Amen. People worry about themselves. Get back to God. Let him work. Open your heart to him. Let him work in your life. And live with that revelation. You are in Christ. Amen. And you are blessed. And you are a blessing wherever you go. Amen. And get the check-in baggage out of your life. Amen. If you fly with certain airlines, it won't be at the other end anyway. Listen, it's a good year. It's an exciting year. I'm not waiting for the BBC to say, oh, everything's good news today. Sorry, it ain't going to happen. The shaking will go on, but the glory is going to be so strong. In your home, in your life, in your family, in this church, among God's people, in this town. Hallelujah. Get rid of all the toxin. Deal with the sin, because you are called to carry the favor and blessing of God into this needy world. Darkness covers the earth, but the Lord will arise over you. Hallelujah. And his glory will be seen upon you. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? Emma, you can come back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just thank him. Just talk to him right now. Just talk to him right now. Maybe there's a besetting thing in your life. Saints, it's time to get the unforgiveness out. It's time to get the mess out. Deal with it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Throw off every sin and every weight and everything that entangles. Oh, God, we just deal with it now. Lord, I pray your forgiveness. Lord, any judgmentalism, any time I've looked down on someone that doesn't know you, Lord, have mercy, I pray. Deal with it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I want to thank you that I can come to the cross and receive help in a time of need. And Lord, receive afresh your mercy and grace. Father, may I know you more and more. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you will speak to us. You will, Lord, I just say, Lord, let the vision, let the gifting of calls of God be fanned into flame in this place. Talk to him right now. Lord, I want to lay hold of the heavenly vision that you have given me. Like Paul, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. And Lord, I want to be a vessel that carries the glory into where I live, into where I work, into where I fellowship. Lord, into my neighborhood. Oh, Father, have mercy, I pray. Have mercy, I pray. Lord, bless me. Give me more and more concept of what it means to be blessed by Almighty God. I thank you, Lord, your favor is upon us. Take us and use us for your glory. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Just say, I am blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Oh, thank you, Lord. It's not future, it's now. Let's worship the Lord.